This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The Public Library of Cincinnati and Hamilton County plans to improve all of its branches. I spoke earlier with Library Director Paula Brame Heger about the newly released facilities master plan. And joining me now is the Eva Jane Romaine Coombe Library Director, Paula Brame Heger. Paula, thanks so much for coming back in.
Thank you very much for having me.
A lot of stuff going on at the library, thanks to the taxpayers of Hamilton County for the most part. And this is a $150 million plan. And I'm just curious to start out, how does an organization like yours even begin the process of planning something of this scope and executing it?
Well, that's a great question. And certainly when we, as you mentioned, were thrilled to receive the generous support of our taxpayers, we wanted to spend those dollars effectively and efficiently, realizing that we are a city-county library system. We have 40 branches, a distribution center, and a main library, about 1 million square feet of public space, and it's spread out across the entire county. So we needed to take a close look at all of our facilities, and that meant bringing in some help. We worked with a consultant firm from San Francisco, actually, that also had some local partners, architects and engineers, and this firm has specialized in public space and specifically in public library space. So they worked in Dayton extensively, in Columbus, here in Ohio. We worked with them over the past year to do assessments of all of our facilities, engineering-wise, facility-wise, accessibility-wise, so that we have a very clear picture of what the system looks like now. And then we tried to see where opportunities might be to enhance that space, change the space so that we're prepared not just for the present use, but going forward. I like to say some of these buildings are more than 100 years old. What an amazing thing these previous generations did for us to give us buildings that actually would function for 114 years. They're obviously reaching the end of their functional life in some way, the way they are right now. But we want to honor that gift, renovate and add when we can, and also, hopefully, decades from now, someone will be sitting here talking about what great choices we made today so that this library can continue to be fantastic and serve our county residents as wonderfully as we've been able to in the past.
And we're going to talk a little bit about some of those specific branches, particularly some of the old ones like the one in Walnut Hills and the one in Price Hill that's going to see a rebirth coming soon. How long did this process take for you to put out this document?
We worked on this all of 2019, in effect, and we worked both with our Board of Trustees, who set out some planning principles. There are six of them, and if you look on our website, you'll see them, but just a couple of highlights. That it was about maximizing access, industry-leading excellence, customer service, and also an important one, diversity, inclusion, and transparency. That is another one, and operational sustainability. Those are all the things that you'll see in there that we thought were so important. So our board laid out some planning principles, and then we went to the community and started having a dialogue, which is so important. We had 90 meetings last year. I went to every neighborhood that has a library. We went to the library, talked to folks, talked to thousands of users and non-users, online options for people to send in their comments, as well as some focus groups where we worked with a local firm here, Design Impact, to run those focus groups so that we could get really helpful information. We've taken all of that, and the plan itself is three sections. If you look at it, there's an introductory section, which is the first. The middle section does branch-by-branch assessments. Also sets out this planning zone principle concept that we haven't really thought about before, but it's such a large area, Hamilton County, that we tried to look at our branches in zones. When we talked to folks and they told us how they use the library in networks, in zones. Sometimes it's a personal network that may or may not be geographically based. Maybe they work in Blue Ash and they live in Delhi. But there were a number of folks who used branches in their geographic area. So you'll see that reflected. We tried to take a holistic approach about how people are using the library in the most effective way to provide quality service to them. Finally, the last document really talks about the budgeting. As you mentioned, this is a complicated process. We want to take the tax dollars and make them work for everyone the best that we can. Of course, dollars from 2020 and 30 and 2028, 2029, those are different dollars. They're not as much money then as they are now. So you'll notice that the projects we've attempted to sort of try to front load them and get a lot out of our dollars in the first 5 years of the project. So people may notice that, and that has a lot to do with escalation and budgetary needs and trying to do our best with what we've been provided.
When you talk about front loading some of the projects, how do you prioritize those needs?
We tried to look at the information that was gathered from our consultant friends. Obviously, we have this issue of accessibility. When we went out and talked about the dollars, we did tell the community this is a primary issue for us. We have three branches currently that are not handicap accessible at all. So if you have a mobility issue, if you're in a wheelchair, if you have a walker, even if you have kids in a stroller, they're very difficult. The only way to get in there is steps.
That's Which ones are those?
Price Hill, Walnut Hills, and Madisonville. And those are at the top of the list. Now, sometimes projects are a little bit easier because the variables to change the layout of that location are easier to work with. Price Hill, we had a large lot, and we are able to renovate and add. Walnut Hills, likewise, we have acquired the land next to the branch. So the idea of renovating and then adding on is much easier than some place like Madisonville. If you look at that branch, it's rather landlocked and it's difficult for us to do that same process there. So they are all a little bit challenging in their own way. We also have three branches that are only partially handicap accessible. And those, likewise, some are a little bit easier to work with, some are landlocked. And I did want to mention that in the process of working with our local architecture and engineering partners on this project, we have others that have some accessibility issues that are not necessarily by code inaccessible, but they are challenging. We were out at the Sims branch, and one of the attendees of that community meeting, an older gentleman, he said it quite plainly and I think eloquently when he said, you know, there's code and then there's reality. So if you look at the plan, it does note that there are maybe up to 11 projects that have some kind of accessibility issue. Again, we can't address all of them, but we do want to note that that's an important thing, and it may play into what we can prioritize going forward.
So when you talk about addressing the accessibility issues, does that include, is it elevators? Is it ramps? What exactly are we talking about?
Yes. Places like Price Hill and Walnut Hills, for example, will have elevators. We may have ramping. We try and make it as easy as we can for people to access that building. And we also talk about trying to have some parking that is easy for people with mobility issues to park and get right to the building in some way that is not steep and heavily ramped. So we're doing our best around that. And even within the buildings, we want to make sure that there's enough space for people to move around effectively, that it's not crammed and crowded. Some of these branches, again, they're this fantastic that they lasted 100 years, but they are undersized for what we really need right now.
This document that the library system has put out about its facilities master plan is still relatively new at this point. It's very fresh. So people around the county who are thumbing through it today and wondering what's in store for their neighborhood, is there any concern from people like you who have leadership positions in the library that some people in some corners of the county may feel a little slighted?
Oh, absolutely. And that's why it's important for us to note every branch will receive something, even in this plan. So we have some locations, if you go through, they're scheduled for hopefully a design project, which are these larger renovations and additions, perhaps someplace like Deer Park, where we may be able to move down the mall and increase our space. Those are these design projects. We also have things that are capital maintenance. They're not quite as exciting, but we certainly need to have good roofs and things that don't leak, possibly even some new carpet and some aesthetic elements that go along with that. That's another bucket that you would note in here. And finally, there's something we're calling strategic investment. So we can't do everything for everyone, but we certainly want everyone to feel the impact. And strategic investments, a great example is our laptop kiosks. So if you go to some of our branches, we have one at Walnut Hills, actually, one at the main library, and we've just put one. We're working on getting one out at our Reading branch. Now, Reading is a newer facility. It's a nice facility, but this is a strategic investment that allows them to double their capacity for people to use our technology and our computers. So it's a kiosk you walk up to. You check a laptop out for 4 hours. You can move around the building and use it. It's all of the same options for your software that you would have on a desktop there, but we've suddenly doubled the capacity for people to do that. So it's not the most expensive kind of investment, but it has a large impact for the people using that library. And we've made a big effort to do our best to provide something for everyone. Also, we have disclaimers all over the plan that talk about, the truth is variables will change. So if we have new opportunities, we may pursue them. As I mentioned, sometimes land acquisition alone can be one of the most difficult things, and reworking a system or trying to get a branch expanded or slightly relocated, that's very difficult. So there may be some things in here we would like to do or that we thought were a good idea, but variables change in 10 years. So that may or may not be the direction we go in.
And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Our guest today is the Eva Jane Romaine Coombe Library Director of the Cincinnati and Hamilton County Library, Paula Brem Heger. Paula, thanks for being with us today. And we're talking about this new $150 million facilities master plan. And this was approved, a tax supporting this plan was approved back in 2018 by a wide margin in Hamilton County, about 63% in favor to 37% against. Why do you think Hamilton County residents supported this by such an overwhelming margin?
Well, I grew up here, and I believe that the residents here understand the need for civic infrastructure and things like arts institutions and public institutions that really work hard for them, and that is the library. We do have an excellent library, and again, when we talked to the community this summer, we heard the number one thing that people really appreciated at our library was our staff. Our staff care very deeply, and they have strong, good relationships with our community. The people that come in, but our staff often go out to community meetings and connect with those folks and try and evolve our services to really help them. A great example, during the recession, we really got into workforce development. So many people came into the library because they're comfortable in the library. There's no negative connotation to coming to the library. And they know that when you come to the library, we don't ask much of anything other than how can we help you. So people really have a strong, positive relationship with the library, and we work very hard and we take that very seriously, which is why we really want to make sure that those tax dollars, which, as you noted, that's a really impressive margin, and we appreciate that, and we are going to work really hard for them, and we want people to see what we're doing, this idea of transparency. These are your tax dollars. I mean, I just got my tax bill. I know that that's something people look at, and we want them to feel like, yes, we have a plan. Yes, you're going to see it, and if you have questions, we have three volumes here to answer, at least providing a roadmap for what we're going to do with your dollars.
We hear a lot about the modern role of libraries in communities, and that had to be a consideration for voters who were going to the polls, asked to spend more in support of it. In fact, according to the Inquirer, the 2018 levy will bring in an extra $19 million a year to help your efforts. And the levy raised the annual library taxes paid by the homeowner of a $100,000 home from $28 to $63. So I imagine that this was a question that people were asking, why is this necessary, and what role do libraries play? But your strategy to stay relevant has been what?
Well, first of all, one thing, and I think you and I talked about this on an earlier show, was the ebook question. So ebooks are great, and people really have embraced them. We see so many people that use just both print and ebooks. And I was actually talking to a couple of different folks not long ago at an event, and there was a person sort of my generation, Gen X-ish, that mentioned, hey, how much do people still use libraries? And we were standing there with someone much younger, millennial. She was in her early 20s, and she said, oh my gosh, I use ebooks all the time. I just get on my phone and I order them from the library, and I love it. And she was effusive about how much e-content has changed her life, e-audiobooks. Those are huge. So this online option is great. But as you and I discussed, ebooks are expensive, the way that publishers have priced those, the way that libraries have to engage with them. So we have some downward pressure to offer these things in the best way we can, but they do cost dollars. Likewise, we have offered so many different software packages, software options. I was just talking with someone here before I came in about our online offerings for people to develop their workforce skills. We have LinkedIn Learning. Also, people may remember it as lynda.com. We have Treehouse. These are all these options that people can engage with virtually without coming into the library that really help them improve their skills, higher level technology skills. That said, we heard so much at our community engagement sessions about how people want to come to the library and do some of their independent work. They bring their laptop, they bring their devices, they want a small meeting room, they want group study, they want tutoring, they want to be able to connect with other people in the community, either for a community meeting or some other one-on-one activity, or even to host a business meeting if they're an entrepreneur. We see that quite a bit, and at Main Library, our makerspace. We could have an entire show about the makerspace. People love that. When I go out, they talk about how much particularly small business or entrepreneurs come down They use our laser engraver. They use our vinyl printer. They use some of our higher level equipment, again, because the staff can also support them and help them. And that has really changed what they can do. It's a technology literacy. It's a different kind of literacy. But the library is really in the business of helping people attain their goals, self-sufficiency, and being literate in all of these new technologies as well.
All right, let's dive into some of the specifics that have emerged from this $150 million library facilities master plan. We are joined by the library director, Paula Bram-Heger. One highlight is the return of the library in Price Hill. First, remind our listeners what happened there that required its closure.
That's a great question, and it's an unfortunate situation, but probably a good illustration of how some of the lack of funding, particularly during the years leading up to the recession and during the recession, we just didn't have a lot of dollars for maintenance. So Price Hill had a ceiling collapse in the summer of 2018. Portion of the ceiling in the children's area there collapsed overnight, fortunately. So we're very happy that it happened when the library was not being used. We had structural engineers come in. They took a look at the building, and they said, our recommendation is to not open this as a public facility. We immediately talked to our friends at the Cincinnati Recreation Commission, and their Price Hill site is right next to our library site. And they were extremely helpful in working with us. And we've been operating a much smaller library out of the CRC since July of 2018. So we haven't had the unfortunate situation where we've not been able to offer library service to the community. We're very pleased by that. However, you know, obviously Price Hill is a building that needed some attention, and it's a two-floor building, again, not accessible, has no ramps, no elevators. Only one floor of that building was used. So our idea is, obviously the community loves the library. We need to renovate that old historic building that is about, I think it's just over 100 years old. It's one of the original buildings from the Hamilton County system, and we need to honor the spirit of that, but we need to update it and have it prepared to offer today service for today's library use. So we're renovating the original building and doing an addition, also improving the parking. And we're also going to look at how we can make that large lot a green space that will work for the community. We've been there talking, obviously, with community residents, also with the community council, and with other community groups that are trying to do a great revitalization of Price Hill. We really feel like the library will be a great anchor in that area to help with those revitalization efforts.
So about $6.5 to $7.5 million to be spent in Price Hill to more than double that space and make it more accessible. Walnut Hills is also seeing a pretty major investment of about $11 to $12 million that will add ramps, an elevator, double the meeting space, and you will keep the historic structure intact and build alongside it. This is one of the original Carnegie libraries within the system, built in 1905.
That's right. And that is a building that we are targeting as a next generation library. So it will be one of the largest in our system. And we have the opportunity to do that. As I mentioned, we are fortunate enough to own that adjacent lot, purchase that, and are able to expand it. Again, that may not happen everywhere, so we want to take full advantage of it. And that is a library that serves multiple communities, Walnut Hills, East Walnut Hills, as well as Evanston. And we really are trying our best to make that one a destination library and increase the use. It's always been a library with heavy use of technology, always had statistics of a lot of visits. So we think there's great potential there, and we're really excited about that opportunity.
I heard you say next generation library. That's something I wanted to ask you about, because there are 15 such branches classified in this facilities master plan. It looks like they range in size from about 12,500 feet to around 25,000 square feet, and they are to serve as regional destinations?
They're to serve as destinations for those planning zones. Now, some of those are existing buildings, and there already are larger buildings. You mentioned the one that's 12-5. Most of those, people may be familiar with them if they're familiar with our Hamilton County system. They range from about 12.5 to maybe 16, 17,000 square feet. So you would see them in Sims and Harrison, Grosbeck, Madeira. Those are, we're going to build on their success and their opportunity to offer full range of service at those larger sizes, so they have more space for possibly meeting rooms and a variety of other kinds of activities. But we do want to build some that are over that square footage, maybe in the 15 to 25,000 square feet. And that's what we see some other library systems that have done revitalization efforts, because that does afford you to have more meeting space. It does afford you to have more services, children's services. I was out at the Madeira branch just a couple months ago, and it was during story time. And that's a large branch. That's one that already is one of our largest and has a nice parking spot. Every spot was taken. Everything was full. That place was packed. It's kind of phenomenal how much people really embrace those services. So we want to make sure that we can support that at these larger next-gen libraries and perhaps offer multiple story times that really bring in people and generate a lot of activity and excitement and have a facility that can support that.
You're also classifying some other ones, 19 or so branches, as neighborhood libraries. These are smaller, between 6 and 12,000 square feet. They will be specifically tailored to their neighborhoods?
I think that's a good way to say it. Currently, a lot of our branches fall within this already. You know, Cincinnati, Hamilton County tends to be a community of neighborhoods. So those are branches that would probably be familiar in the way they operate to people now. And they will offer a range of services. But we do have some things that are very specialized. So a great example is our passport service. Our passport service is offered at Main Library and a few of our branches. That's a very specialized service. That may be something that you see at our next-gen libraries, but maybe not something that you would see necessarily at a neighborhood library. So these kinds of larger-scale services where someone might have to go to that branch, we want to offer it out throughout the county, but we can't necessarily sustain those kinds of specialized services everywhere. So again, pairing a next-generation library with some neighborhood libraries, people would have that full experience within their planning zone.
And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Our guest today is the director of the Public Library of Cincinnati and Hamilton County, Paula Bram-Heger. We're talking about the newly released $150 million facilities master plan. So, Paula, let's talk about the main branch downtown. I read in CityBeat that the plan includes three possible scenarios for what they described as underutilized space east of the main branch's south building. And that is apparently right now the fenced-in parking lot. And it looks like this could become a 250-space parking facility with ground-level retail, 500 parking spots, and an auditorium as well. Can you talk about this addition?
Oh, sure. That is a larger scale project and probably longer range. But we really felt like we wanted to be bold and put that in there. We hear parking, parking, parking. You know, everyone knows that's an issue, and many main libraries have done a renovation that included some parking. So even if parking is available, if you think about coming to a main library, again, I always use the example of someone who has maybe a bunch of kids, you've got a stroller, you've got a couple of little people. The idea of parking and then walking right into the building is very attractive. That makes it very accessible and easy. Also, older folks who might want to come down and use our resources, some of our resources that are great here, we have a Cincinnati room, we have the genealogy collection. They may really appreciate the idea of parking and being able to walk right in. So this parking has come up again and again. People are really excited about that. You mentioned the auditorium. Currently, the library doesn't really have a place where we can have a large-scale program for hundreds of people. And we have great speakers come in. For example, we did the Mary S. Stern Lecture with Brian Stevenson, incredibly popular, really well received. We held that at the Aronoff because we don't have a space at our main library that can fit people in a way that makes that a good experience for them. If we had this opportunity to have an auditorium again, it's a great chance for the library, but also then we have a more sustainable space where we can do that without paying other fees that might be associated with some other venue. So long term, it's a great deal for us too. You mentioned retail. People look at me quizzically, but there are libraries that have done this. I was just out in Salt Lake City. Their big main library that they redid has booths and retail space right on the ground floor before you go into the library. It's a similar idea. It gives people the opportunity to have some space that maybe they wouldn't otherwise have and some exposure that maybe they don't get elsewhere, and they could come into that real retail space. So that is the Walnut Street side. Again, right now there's a Walden parking lot and some other changes of the way the library's done business. I mentioned the distribution center. You know, we've tried to move some of our parking needs elsewhere. So that is a space that's prime for something that would really work for our customers.
If there's going to be a retail component, a sort of mixed-use development on a site owned by the library, would that make you landlords? Would you be handling the leasing of those spaces?
It's hard to say. Various libraries have handled it different ways. Sometimes they sell the rights to that and someone else handles it. Sometimes they certainly do it themselves. Again, it's a longer-term project, and this is a learning curve for us. But it's exciting to think about what we might be able to do there.
I remember a few years back, the downtown library's north building was a point of contention. Some of the trustees wanted to maybe put it up for sale. Some in the community opposed that. Ultimately, it's still there. What is its role now in the renovation plan?
If you look at the plan, it notes that we are also going to be doing some work on the Vine Street Plaza, trying to bring that down, connect it more closely to the city street. I do a parallel sort of comparison with the changes at Fountain Square. I grew up here. Again, I remember Fountain Square. The fountain was right there, and then they moved it back and activated that space. Similarly, the Vine Street Plaza has a little bit of elevation that's not heavily used. It's kind of unclear what's going on. It has a little bit of a gauntlet entrance. So we're going to rework that. In association with that, we do anticipate about 100,000 square feet of space at the main library being part of a makeover that might include vertical circulation, which I think is a fancy way of saying stairs, so that people walk in and understand how the building works. And we may be altering the arrangement of some of our departments so that things that over the years people have asked, maybe you want to have children's next to the popular library because it can be a little challenging for people to go between the two. We're going to look at all of that. We've also heard people say, wouldn't it be great if the makerspace was on the first floor? You know, various ideas that may or may not come to fruition, but really trying to think of from a customer-centric perspective, how are they utilizing this? I want to note just one thing that's an example of a small change that has been so well received. We did some work in our atrium area, which is the first floor of the south building, the older of the two buildings. For years, our staff had said, you know, customers come in and they're not sure how to do some quick printing. Maybe they want to print an airport pass. Maybe they just need to do something quick, or they need to fax something, or how can we do that here on the first floor? So we now have a print fax copy center on the first floor, and oh my gosh, it is so clear to people how to use it. It's such a better customer experience. So that's a service we've offered for a long time, and it was used, but now that people understand and can see it and intuit where to go for that assistance, it's really changed people's understanding of what the library can do for them.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about that, and maybe it's a conversation about interior design. I don't know, but as you plan out what these library branches will look like, it's to be expected that various branches will create different feelings when you enter them. Some are older, more historic buildings, some are newer. How does the sense of place factor into the design that you're creating for these changes?
Walnut Hill's a great example. We heard so much from that community about their urge to have some creative spaces, maybe some art, maybe some even lending of seeds or gardening tools. And that wouldn't necessarily be something we do everywhere, but we're trying to hear what the community is saying. These are some specific things that are something you might be able to do specific to our community that really are something for our location that has community identity. And we're going to do our best to bring that into the fold and also keep all of our spaces flexible and adaptable. That's the key. Things that we don't even anticipate now, we can't anticipate now. But we want to have a building and a situation that will allow us to move things, change things, and continue to have the services evolve rather than being locked in where we don't have a facility that is a flexible, adaptable situation. Our staff has been flexible and adaptable for years, which is why we continue to be such an excellent library. But these facilities really need to be brought up to that same adaptability.
And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Our guest today is the Eva Jane Romaine Coombe Library Director for Cincinnati and Hamilton County, Paula Brem Heger. Paula, we're talking about your $150 million facilities master plan. It's very ambitious, impacts every corner of the county where the branches are. It is a 10-year plan. And you mentioned at the top of this conversation that dollars today won't look the same 10 years from now. They'll probably be worth less than they are now, or at least won't go as far. So I want to go back to my question about relevance and staying current. How does the library system anticipate the changes in technology and user demands over the course of the next decade? Because who knows what kind of devices and consumer behavior we'll all engage in?
Absolutely. Well, there are a couple of immediate things to point out. One thing is while the plan and the dollars that we have from the 2018 levy are really heavily dedicated and prioritized for the facilities, we're also doing a technology upgrade for our online presence. People will see that later this year. Some large urban libraries use the same system. Chicago Public Library is one that I often point out. And this is intended to help people really engage with our virtual presence in the most effective way that they can. A place that we heard an awful lot about using our online presence as an actual kind of branch was out on the west side of Hamilton County. When we were out there doing our community engagement sessions, the branches out there are a little bit more dispersed. They're further apart. The planning zones, as opposed to some of the central planning zones where branches are 2 or 3 miles maybe because it's a dense, older community, planned previous generations. These are slightly newer, and they have 5, 10, 15 miles between their locations. So people use the online presence. They order what they want, and they are extremely knowledgeable about how that works, some of the things that they would like to see improved, some of the ways that they feel like it could work better for them. So some of the discussions we had, particularly with some folks at Miami Township or Green Township, often older customers who don't want to drive around to other places. They want the material that they want delivered, and they want that online presence to really help them understand how to get to it. We heard again and again, and we intend to make our online presence as effective as we can. Likewise, to pair that, we also are looking at some options for convenience. So if people do order something online and they have a difficulty coming to the libraries during open hours for whatever reason, we are currently testing some lockers, after-hour locker pickup out at our Oakley branch. So people can come in when the library is not open. They can just go into that one designated area and get their item out of the locker. So if you can't get there by 6 or you can't get there by 9, you can still go get your item. And this is a pairing of using some technology to help people actually print, pick up material. All of that said, we also know that people who get new devices need assistance and they want to understand how to use them. We have online options for doing that. Again, LinkedIn Learning and some other online options offer people videos for how to use their devices, but really nothing helps people like the online or the one-on-one help that someone at the library can offer them. So we have My Librarian appointments where people can, in effect, reserve a time for a librarian to help them with whatever need they have. And sometimes that is how to use a new device or how to get help to use their new device. And that's an essential piece of what we do. The opportunities are kind of boundless about what it will mean for folks to use those technologies. But we do know that they look to the library and they trust the library to help them with that.
Across Hamilton County, all the library branches will be part of a $150 million investment over the next decade. You can see a link to give a closer look at this $150 million library facilities master plan at WVXU.org inside the Cincinnati Edition tab. Our guest today has been the Eva Jane Romaine Coombe Library Director for Cincinnati and Hamilton County, Paula Bram-Heger. Paula, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the attention and time.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.